Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast, presented by Wintrust, with two of our Cubs insiders, David Kaplan and Tony Andracki. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. We'll try to always do this at least two times a week, guys, this offseason, see if we can keep things under control. The GM meetings are over. Hot stove not heating up just yet, but plenty of rumors, including the one that is driving Cubs fans crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Buster Olney comes out and says the Cubs are, quote, open to trading Chris Bryant, end quote. Tony, you were there. First of all, when this is floated out there, I would assume reporters are scurrying all over the place.
Yeah, well, this was actually really floated the day after GM meetings ended.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you saw even the reaction to it. It was that sensational headline that ESPN wrote for Buster Olney's story, Cubs open to trading Chris Bryant. Well, Buster didn't quite write it that strong. It was the Cubs are listening to offers. It's not like they're actively shopping like, hey, this is a guy that we want to trade right now this winter. It wasn't anywhere near as hard as the headline made it seem. So in a way, it's almost kind of funny to look at it, but that's kind of the world of Twitter and the internet right now anyway.
It is sort of crazy, Cap, when you think about it, the fact that this guy was an MVP. He was Rookie of the Year. He was on pace to be, you know, Hall of Fame trajectory. He has an injury-filled season, and all of a sudden, even the idea of floating it out there that he might be available has people going crazy.
Yeah, because I think the headline, you know, immediately you're like, what? And then you read it, and even Buster has said it would be a long shot that he's going to get traded. So the headline writer does, which happens all the time in the newspaper world, does the writer no justice, and it makes it tougher. But you also have to think, well, hold on a second now. This guy has rebuffed north of $200 million worth of extension. They would have gone well north of that. Yeah, I'm good. I'm not interested. Really? You only have 3 years left of control. You're coming off a shoulder injury and had your worst year as a pro. Well, I got to think about the future of my franchise here. Maybe someone's going to call me up and make me a stupid offer and go, I'll give you this, 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 and this. I want him.
There have been other guys in Chicago that have given the so-called hometown discount or taken deals that they thought, you know what, it's just best for my family to take the guaranteed cash.
Mm-hmm. Rizzo.
Rizzo was the most Castro recent, yeah. Took less money early on. Chris Sale took less money to get it that way. I don't think Bryant's going to fit into that category.
Agreed.
At least that's the way it looks. Maybe Boris has something to do with that. Theo's quote was, he responded to it very quickly because it really started to heat up. We've never operated with untouchables. It sends the wrong message. Given what we're trying to accomplish, it would be virtually impossible to envision the deal that would make sense to move them. I don't believe in untouchables. Why limit yourself? That is a piece of it, too. You're not saying, here's the deal. There's a difference between saying Chris Bryant is available and calling teams and saying, hey, Bryant's available. What would you give us? And saying nobody's untouchable. Only Michael Jordan was untouchable. Everybody else, if you give me seven unbelievable prospects, I'd consider it.
Look, Wayne Gretzky was traded. Probably the best team sport athlete in the history of American sports. Pretty close.
Yeah. MJ's there.
Right. Wilt Chamberlain, traded. Babe Ruth, traded. I mean, there's been some amazing players that get moved. So nobody is an untouchable in my world, short of what you said, Michael.
So which is it, though? Are the Cubs saying he's available and actively saying that to teams, or are they just saying, you know what, if somebody asks us about Chris Bryant, we're going to listen, but we're not actively putting it out there? Which one is it?
The second half of that Theo quote that you mentioned, I think is that's where the key lies. It's Theo talked about how there are guys that they could move that would actually hurt the franchise more than if they kept them. Or I'm sorry, yeah, if they moved him, that right. would hurt more. So Chris Bryant, you have to imagine would be in there. Anthony Rizzo and so on. Because you're just not going to get the value back for them. In reality, what could the Cubs get for Chris Bryant that makes them a better chance, gives them a better chance to win championship in 2019, in 2020, or in 2021? There's probably not a package out there that a team is willing to get rid of that actually makes the Cubs a better team right now. So that's why, because he's so important inside the clubhouse, that his intangibles and mental toughness is something they love so much. If they got rid of Chris Bryant, it would hurt this team. It absolutely would.
What if the Angels called? What
and said Mike Trout, Angelton said,
we took a run at Mike Trout. He does not want to sign long term. We got him for 2 more years. You got Chris for 3. We'll go Trout for Bryant and something else because we're not going to be able to keep this guy either.
Right. That's what it would take. But you're talking about the best player in baseball for Chris Bryant. So, yes, that's exactly why Theo said we don't operate in untouchables, because what if the Angels call?
That scenario.
What if? And again, now, don't give away too many names. No, we're not speculating that.
No.
We're just throwing out a scenario.
We're going to give a couple scenarios that guys that might line up if it were crazy, but let's not get to that just quite yet. If you had to go through the Cubs roster and you had to say, all right, nobody's untouchable, who is the most untouchable on the Cubs roster right now, and work your way down? Who would you say is the one? Listen, I wouldn't have said 2 years ago Javi Baez, but after last season, you know, midway through the season it was floated out there. What about DeGrom for Javi Baez? We joked about it in the newsroom. We just had the discussion. It wasn't a trade rumor going back and forth. It was just something, you know, sports fans talk about. I would have been okay with the deal at the beginning of the season. By the end of the season, I wouldn't have made that trade. So who is at the top of the Cubs list now? Is it still Bryant? Is it Rizzo? Is it Javi?
For me, it's Anthony Rizzo would be number one. He is the face of your franchise. He runs your clubhouse. He's a gold glove first baseman who hits 30 home runs and drives in 100 basically every year.
And he's cost controlled.
And he's cost controlled for 3 more years. Yeah, for me, the number one on that list would be Anthony Rizzo.
And he sets the example, Rizzo does, for the rest of the lineup by not striking out, by choking up, putting the ball in play with 2 strikes. This is what they want the rest of these young guys to do. Rizzo is the perfect example for that. He's essentially Joey Votto. I'm not saying he walks anywhere near as much, but his approach, his plan at the plate, that's what they look at it. So I can't disagree at all, Cap. I think Rizzo is the most important to the team of all these guys.
And he's a left-handed bat, which they are still trying to find another left-handed bat, whether that ends up being Schwarber or somebody else.
Good point.
That's what makes him unique to this team as well. He is the big power left-handed bat. And we're not necessarily saying he's the best player on the team.
Right.
Correct.
He just might be the most important to the team.
Wilson Contreras would be if you asked me this 3 months ago. But that the last 2 months of the season were so tough for him offensively that I don't think you can put him in the category. But he has the biggest.
Why, Tony? Because of his position?
Because of his position and because the fact that if you look around the game right now, the only catcher that I would say is even in the realm of his in terms of moving forward, the potential, the skills, everything else, JT Realmuto, because Buster Posey's getting old, Gary Sanchez has defensive issues, and also struggled to even hit 200 this year.
Salvador Perez?
Yeah, but he's also caught a lot of innings. That's catching up to him. He also doesn't really walk much or provide much besides the occasional pop offensively.
Yeah, getting old.
Yeah, all these different things. I think Wilson still has his best years ahead of him. Realmuto, the same thing. But, like, these are the top two catchers, in my opinion. But Wilson has to go out and show that right now.
Do you think Chris Bryant will spend his entire career or the majority of his career in a Cubs uniform?
Absolutely not.
Let's say he goes to the Hall of Fame someday. Let's say Chris Bryant continues on the way he's going. Last year was a blip because of the injuries, and he becomes a Hall of Fame player. Would he be wearing a Cubs cap on his bust? Is he going to be here long enough to be that guy, wearing the Cubs hat?
That's a great question, Luke. If they have a really good 19 season and he's one of the impetus.
Goes back to being an MVP.
He's the impetus for them winning another World Series? Yes. If you told me that they did not have a great 19, they talked about moving him, and it kind of dragged out. Yeah, I personally do not believe he'll re-sign with the Cubs after 21. I do not.
I don't think so either. But to answer your question about Hall of Fame, I think it's there's a very strong chance that he would wear a Cubs hat because that's where he grew up in this organization. That's the one that paid him initially, even if
won the World Series.
Yeah, and that whole narrative of the toughest task in sports. But he's going to be a free agent around age 30. He would have to play until age 37 somewhere else and put up a lot of numbers.
In 7 years with the Yankees.
Yeah.
And he's really good. He's probably still a Cubs Hall of Famer if he continues the
road
that
his numbers were monster numbers.
So it's more likely that he'd be on another team, but you still think he'd always be remembered as
like Barry Bonds was great with the Pirates. Great.
Yeah.
But he's remembered as a Giant. Even though he signed there at age 30 or 31.
That's about the same pace as what you're talking about with Chris Bryant. Like, right? He could have that switch midway, or A-Rod. A-Rod, you know, was Seattle, and then
Texas.
All of a sudden he's gone. He's in Texas.
Well, what about Pujols? I mean, I think of Pujols still as a Cardinal. And
right.
I know that's kind of a bias because of how often he played against the Cubs. But he had some solid years with the Angels. He will finish his career with them. He'll have 7-8 years, about as long as he was in a Cardinals uniform. But I think the Cardinals were his best years, and that's how I'll always remember Pujols, assuming he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Do you think the Cubs have that same feeling, too, that they believe they won't be able to re-sign him when the time comes?
I do believe that.
That's why this "we're listening to anything" is sort of floated out there a little bit.
It's Bryce Harper 2.0. He's going to be a free agent in 3 years, just like Bryce Harper did. They're not going to sign an extension before that. There's no reason to.
Okay, we're going to take our first break here on the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. When we come back, I'm going to float out two names in potential deals for Chris Bryant. These aren't on the table. I'm just finding two names that other people have said, you know what, maybe this. We're going to see if the cap man bites after the break.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Welcome back to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust, Luke Stuckmeyer, Tony Andracki, and David Kaplan. We've been talking about Chris Bryant, the rumors, if it's really a story or not. But I did want to throw a couple names out there that have been on the internet just for fun to discuss. We're not saying they're actually offered out there. Jim Bowden of The Athletic floated out the idea of Nolan Arenado for Bryant. Arenado's a year older. He's 28. He'll be a free agent after next season. Bryant won't be a free agent until after 2021. And, of course, if you're looking at arbitration numbers for next year, Arenado's probably looking at $25 million. Chris Bryant somewhere between $10 and $15 million. So there is a financial difference, and there is a difference in how long you have them under control.
Well, my very studly, good-looking, and well-muscled friend, Tony Andracki.
Oh, why Tony? It could have been me. I've been working out.
Well, Yurko took a shot at him on the radio today. Oh. So, he broke this down. Arenado, 26.1, as you said. Chris is going to make 14 is what the projection is in arbitration. But you look at his numbers, Luke, they're very concerning. Career splits,
Arenado you're talking about.
Yes. Home batting average at Coors, 320, 374 OBP, 609 slug. Away, he's a 263 hitter with a 318 OBP and a 469 slug. And you say, well, that's career. How did he do in 18? He hit 347 at Coors with a 424, 681 slash line. That's 1105. Unbelievable. 23 homers, 62 RBIs. Away from Coors, he hit a paltry 248 with a 325 OBP and a 447 slug, and that's a 772 with only 15 bombs and 48 knocked in. You take all those numbers, there's a lot of concern. Who are you getting?
That's sort of surprising to me because if you would have asked me, I would have said that's comparing gold to diamonds, you know? And if you would have asked me before those stats, just simply, who's the better player? You could make an argument for Arenado.
Arenado's certainly better defensively.
Oh, yeah,
I think
for sure.
I think Chris is destined to go to the outfield eventually.
I feel like we've heard that before when he's twice from Cap.
Yeah. Chris is a pedestrian third baseman. Arenado's a gold glover.
Okay, Tony, so take us on the flip side. Tell us why that would make sense for the Cubs, if there's any argument at all for Arenado for Bryant.
I don't have an argument, to be honest. I would not do 1 year of Arenado for 3 years of Chris Bryant unless there was another big piece coming back. Like we already talked about, okay, the Angels call and they're like, hey, yeah, Mike Trout and Andrelton Simmons or something ridiculous like that. It would have to be something ridiculous. And 1 year of Arenado is not ridiculous, not in my mind, because those splits that Cap just talked about, he's basically Nolan Arenado away from Coors Field in his career and in 2018 is basically Chris Bryant with a shoulder injury. The numbers are very similar across the board. And obviously we know that Chris Bryant with a shoulder injury is not an offensive force. Nolan Arenado away from Coors Field, not an offensive force, at least what he's shown so far. So even though he's so good defensively, I don't think you make that move unless the Rockies were to throw in, you know, whatever else they go from there. But it's just too difficult to see.
If the numbers were all the same, the age were the same, the contract was the same, control was the same, would the argument be just because Bryant was coming off an injury that you would make the deal? I mean, they're very similar players in that they're both MVP-level players when they're healthy.
Well, what if Arenado's people said, hey, you make that deal, we'd be open to signing an extension with you right now? That's the question, if the numbers were the same, because you certainly don't think that Scott Boras is going to let him sign an extension.
And Arenado is a former Scott Boras client. He is a Wasserman client right now, so it's at least a little possible that Arenado would sign the extension. But that $12 to $14 million that Arenado would have to be paid in 2019 more than what Bryant would be paid, that's a pretty huge difference when 2019 is when the Cubs have the most money issues because of Cole Hamels' $20 million option. So that it's tough because then it puts the Cubs in an even tougher spot financially, even if he signs an extension.
If the bar is set at MVP level for Chris Bryant moving forward, as he's already achieved it, what's the floor? Coming off an injury season, what's the worst you could get out of Chris Bryant through 2021?
I think the floor is that he is a perpetually injured player. And I don't want to knock his 2017 as saying that he was injured, but I know, like, Cap, we've discussed and stuff. He had that finger issue from sliding in. He just wasn't quite himself for most of 17. But that shoulder issue was worrisome in that he's not getting surgery. It obviously kept persisting, and it was just one wrong swing that affected him. Could that still affect him moving forward? So I think the floor actually could be 2018 moving forward. I don't think that'll be the case, but that's the concern, is that he will not be able to stay fully healthy over the course of the season.
Can you think of another player that's been a similar in stature to him or numbers that had a shoulder injury that didn't do well after that or that bounced back? Either way.
Troy Gloss.
Gloss is a good one.
An MVP, but a very good player.
Right, and we were talking a little bit about this, you know, off air, but Gloss is 6'5", just like Bryant. Gloss was the guy that Bryant was compared to before he came up, became the top prospect, became the MVP, like you mentioned. So Bryant's already surpassed what Gloss did in his career, but Gloss did not really play or make a major factor in his career after age 31 because he kept having shoulder issues. Because it's really tough for guys, like they talk about this with Aaron Judge a lot. He's big. He's built like a linebacker. These guys, they need more time, more rest. It's really, really tough to play these guys 160 or 150 times a year throughout 6 months, and then Chris Bryant. Well,
especially a third.
Exactly, yeah. I mean,
so moving him to the outfield might help extend his career
a little bit. I can tell you the Cubs have told me that was where they projected him as a left fielder when they first brought him to big leagues. That's where they saw his long-term future. We haven't seen it yet.
Well, we mentioned shoulder injury in Troy Gloss, and we've talked about it with Chris Bryant. Let me throw out the other name that was out there on the internet. Our comrades over at SNY threw out the name when they heard that Chris Bryant might be available, according to rumors. They said, why not Noah Syndergaard for Chris Bryant right up? And they gave arguments for both guys and why both teams should consider it. Both players 26 years old, both players arbitration eligible through 2021 before being eligible for free agency. And a swap would make sense because Syndergaard was ERA, like right at 3, his whip is 1.21, 155 strikeouts and 154 innings. And their argument for it was the Cubs should do it because they don't really have a true ace when it comes to the postseason. And if healthy, now, again, here's a guy who had lat surgery but has bounced back from it. He could be their ace. And then you could go Lester and maybe potentially you would move somebody like Quintana to help fill the void at third base. Noah Syndergaard, is that a...
No.
No.
I don't believe everything I've read, people who know a hell of a lot more baseball than I ever will, in the game have said you don't trade impactful position players for guys who impact your team 35 times a year.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, and if the Cubs did not pick up Cole Hamels' option and they had a pretty clear hole in the rotation, I would say this would be more of a need. But with Hamels in there, they have five pretty solid guys. They really need more offense. So trading away offense and Chris Bryant for pitching, that seems to be a tougher draw, a tougher sell.
But you could trade one of your pitchers, as Luke said, for offense too.
That's true, but what are you going
to
get out of that?
You might be able to move Quintana's deal and get something back. Or take that money and sign Josh Donaldson.
Could do that. That's something, Luke, that I like, where, okay, Josh Donaldson gets a two-year deal. He's your starting third baseman. He brings right-handed thump to your lineup. Chris Bryant goes to left, and then I trade Schwarber and whatever I have to put in that package and go get my second baseman from Kansas City in Whit Merrifield. That's
perfect offseason.
Yes.
What's the likelihood, you think, Cap, of that happening? 10%? 50%?
I'm going to say probably 25%.
All right, that's fair.
That those all happen.
So we just spent two segments talking about the Chris Bryant rumors. Is it anything more than a rumor? Finally, when we wrap up. When it's all said and done, is it just fun to talk about in the offseason?
Yeah, and it's part of the process. I know Luke, I call Luke up and I'm like, hey, dude, what are you going to do this winter? I don't know. What do you got? Well, I don't know. You want Bryant? What are you going to give me for him? I'll take your top three prospects and your best player. Yeah, not so much. Okay, moving on.
I'll trade you a cryo for three dress shirts.
There you go.
You know, it's just fun to do every once in a while.
It's playing fantasy baseball in real life. Why not?
That's what these guys get to do.
Yeah, it is. Except with millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right. Not their own money.
True.
That's very the true. Best part. All right, thank you for listening to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Coming up later in the week, we will sit down. We're going to try and have an interview for you once a week in one of our two podcasts. This week, we've got a great one for you. Jim Henry, the former Cubs general manager, will sit down and talk with Cubs Talk Podcast.